And it's time now for Oh the Humanities, taking a look at humanities scholarship research and events on campus, and now a lot of those events online as well. Carolina Public Humanities is where you go for a lot of that information. Humanities.unc.edu is their website. And joining us now is the director of Carolina Public Humanities, Max Orr. Max, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, Aaron. I'm ensconced in my car where I have good reception on my cell phone, and we should be able to make it through this week's segment. I want to thank you for talking with our good friend Brett Whalen from the History Department last week, and it was a really wonderful conversation you had. Of course, everyone's always thinking about the bubonic plague at this time, so great guy and a great conversation, so thank you, and thank Brett for having that conversation last week. We might be doing a Go ahead.
Yeah, oh, no, I was going to say that was a terrific conversation, and he was talking about maybe turning that into a written project, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, but, you know, if I've turned it into one of those beak mask sales. I'm trying to get that going. I heard you saying about these new masks. I feel like we should just go right for the beak-shaped mask, you know, for the whole tying us to history. But, yeah, great. Thank you for doing that, and it's how are you holding up? How is everyone holding up?
We are holding up as well as can be expected. Like everyone, just kind of making it through from day to day. I will say the first couple of weeks of this back in mid-March felt like they dragged on for weeks and months and years. And now, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm starting to get used to all of this enough that the days kind of feel like days again, and weeks kind of feel like weeks again, as opposed to one day feeling like it lasts forever.
Or as someone was making a joke, every day, just take off the first three letters. It's just day, day, day.
know? Right, right.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. Well, I wanted to talk to you today about a project. As you know, we have to move everything online in Carolina Public Humanities, and we are doing a pretty good job of that with our happy hours going. We had a wonderful happy hour coming up this Thursday. We're going to be looking at international perspectives on COVID, and there might be a few of these because I usually have three guests at a time. I can't cover more than three countries at a time, so that should be fun. We also have a Think Fast forum we're organizing for the following Thursday on April 30th on mental health. We're not going to call that a humanities happy hour because, as you know, this has been a really difficult time for people. And so we're going to be talking with mental health professionals about, you know, symptoms and crises and also what we can do for our mental health in this period. Yeah. So another great event. But I came here to talk today about a book reading group, a book, because, you know, this is something we do normally at Flyleaf Books all the time. We have our wonderful, great book selections. And we're trying to recreate that online, and we figured we'd pick an appropriate text. So we picked Camus' The Plague.
Yes.
Are you familiar with this text,
this
Aaron?
Is, I was talking about the heading into this conversation. I was promoting it earlier. This is, so I've got a couple of bookshelves at home. They're full of books. One bookshelf is just full of all of my very, very favorite novels of all time, the ones that I have read and I like them enough that I want to keep them and hang on to them so that I can go back and reread. The Plague is on
top
that
shelf.
It is. It is on the top shelf. Yeah.
Exactly. The good
it is
stuff.
One of my very favorite novels of all time. I love this book. And I think we've talked about this. I'm not a huge fan of Camus in general. Like, I read The Stranger and hated it. And then I picked up The Plague, and it's one of my favorites.
Well, you know, it's really interesting when you contextualize The Plague within Camus' own work. There's a good reason for that, and I don't think you're alone. I think it is perhaps his most accessible, most accessible book, and not that you're, you know, you could handle inaccessible works as well. I know that about you, Aaron, but it's a very accessible. It's a very, you know, of course, Camus' writing is not complex and convoluted at all. I mean, one of his favorite writers to emulate was Hemingway.
Yep.
So everything is, you know, pretty straightforward. But something that's interesting about The Plague is that it, you know, it's removed from some of the absurdism and the stark existentialism that characterizes the Stranger, that characterizes the myth of Sisyphus, and that characterizes Caligula. Those three works together, written, you know, between 1939 and 1941, are considered his absurdist cycle, where you get that sort of bleak understanding of human life. And it's not that Camus got rid of his existentialism. In fact, he's, you know, doubling down on it. But the conclusions that he draws by immersing the story about, you know, how do we handle the existential crisis in a community, leaves us with a little bit of a different set of values and ideas and I don't know, information to draw from the work than you can from this more sort of stark The Stranger.
Yeah,
it's a really I really what is it about the book that you like?
It's a very well-written book, first of all, and it's just you fall in love with all of these characters, even the ones that maybe you're not supposed to fall in love with. And I think when you're reading a novel about the human condition, right, whether it's a science fiction novel or an existentialist novel or any novel where the author is really trying to say something about humanity, I think those novels say more about the author than they say about humanity. Like, all of our conceptions of humanity mm-hmm. are very different based on where we stand. So when I say this is also kind of me talking from my perspective as well. But I think Camus gets it right. I've always really appreciated anyone who is willing to look at humanity for the diversity that it is, the fact that we are, and this is Dostoevsky, Brothers Karamazov kind of stuff too, the fact mm-hmm. that we are capable of being both incredibly unbelievably good and also incredibly unbelievably bad at the same time. We're capable of all mm-hmm. of that and everything in the middle. And during times of crisis, during times of trauma and difficulty, that really comes out in very stark and also very interesting ways. And Camus, I think gets the human condition right. And I think he does it in a context where he's also providing us with some really interesting characters as well.
Yeah, you know, and of course one of the key characters is Dr. Rieu, the mm-hmm. you know, sort of commonplace hero. And what's really I find interesting about it, and of course the novel is a huge metaphor for all sorts of things, especially the metaphor for war. This yeah. novel came out of World War II, and as Camus is writing about this, he's thinking of, you know, the likelihood of there being, just as they say in the book, the likelihood of there being a bubonic plague in 1947, you know, collapsing a city of 270,000 people is far, that's not very likely. But people felt the same way about the cataclysm of war.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this metaphor, but what's remarkable for us looking at this, from looking at it from in a real pandemic situation and reading this text, it works on both levels, both the metaphor and also just on the description of these authorities and how they're debating whether to close the town or not. When do you say the word plague or not?
Yep.
How do you deal with deaths? How do you deal with misinformation? What about people that don't want to go along with the quarantine, you know? And so all of these things that I think were metaphorically written about to describe people's reaction to the horrors of war and the unreality of war is really also about the plague and really accurately describes how people act in these pandemics. It's really quite uncanny.
Yeah, especially now. I mean, you look at the way that people are reacting today in the U.S. and beyond, and they're reacting exactly the same way Camus' characters did. All of the different characters who represent each of the different reactions, like we're seeing it out there right now. It's funny you mentioned the multiple layers. I have a favorite Camus' The Plague story, and it's the fact that I first encountered this in grad school as part of a class on existentialism, and each of us were required to take one of the books that we were reading and present it to the class, and this was the one that I ended up with, which is partly the reason why I fell in love with it as much as I did. But I get up and I deliver this presentation, which in my humble opinion was quite good. And then one of the, I can't remember if it was the professor or one of the other students raised their hand in part of the conversation. It was like, oh, this is also a metaphor for World War II and the fight against Nazism. And the funny thing was I had read it. I had read about it. I had made notes about it. I'd prepared this entire presentation. And it just never even occurred to me that this was a metaphor mm-hmm. for World War II. I really just read it on the level of this is a metaphor for just the human condition in general. And it's like, oh, well, that makes the book even better that we can add that extra layer on top of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's funny, too, because if you do read it on the flat level of this is just a description of a plague, you find the heroes are I think what's remarkable is the heroes are, of course, engaged in the very humdrum work of the doctor who's got to identify the patients, put them, you know, and it's just there's this element of our heroes are not those that cling on to abstract values and abstract ideas. They're just the people that do what have to get done. It's sort of the Bill Belichick school of just do your job, you know. And in it, there's...
You had to bring the Patriots into it, didn't you?
I had to, you know, it's tough. Draft is coming up on Thursday. What are we going to do? No. You know, I will have a humanities happy hour while the draft is going on. Who would have thought, you know?
We're speaking with Max Orr, Executive Director of Carolina Public Humanities. I got your title wrong up top. Humanities.unc.
That's okay. Lloyd will get over it.
I'm sure he will, yeah. Humanities.unc.edu is the website for more information. So you have been reading The Plague on Facebook Live for the last few days. How's that been going?
Well, this is, yeah. So I you know, this is a completely a project that I started. We're here. I'm at home. I have the Carolina Public Humanities sound equipment at home, so I figured I would take this time to learn how to use it a little bit better. And so one of the things I thought I would test myself with would be to, you know, how about doing some live broadcasting? And I said, well, what can I do? I don't want to sing songs, blah, 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 that'll come later. So I thought just reading a text. And let me tell you how really interesting it is. I can't tell you the last time I read a book out loud, you know, besides to my children, which is a very different type of experience. But to read, I do about 20 to 25 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. And I'm just reading the text, and it has been, first of all, it's more difficult than you think.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's a very different approach to a text, and I'm really enjoying it. So I always say to people, if people are having a hard time getting to sleep tonight, I have a mellifluous baritone. you can go to the Carolina Public Humanities Facebook site, and I've been posting them there as well, and they're open to the public. So if anyone doesn't want to read Camus' The Plague, and you like the way this voice sounds on radio right now, you could have this experience yourself. I'm about halfway through. A matter of fact, right after this, I'm going to go read another 20, 25 minutes. So, yes, that's available for everyone if they don't feel like reading.
Awesome. And then the book club, which is coming up in May, what are the details of that?
So the details on that is that you sign up with us and you purchase the book through Flyleaf Books and they will send it to you. It's on May 12th from 10 to 12. And I will say that it is filling up very quickly. In fact, so quickly that we are likely to have a second session. Mm-hmm. So please continue to go to humanities.unc.edu and follow us on Facebook and whatnot. And we will announce that very soon about a second session. Maybe Lloyd will take one and I'll take the other. So that we can get more people in, because we are limited to about 10 to 12 people. More than that makes a crazy Zoom call, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Awesome. Again, humanities.unc.edu for more information on that. You can sign up for the book club. Spots going quick, but get a copy of the book. It's an amazing book. You'll want to have it anyway, and you'll be supporting Flyleaf Books when you do, so you're supporting local businesses all at the same time.
Exactly.
No reason not to do this. Speaking with Max Orr, other things going on that people ought to know about?
Yeah, well, sure. We have, you know, we are going to continue with our happy hours. So as I mentioned, next week is going to be a break from happy hour. We're going to do the mental health forum. The week following that, we're going to be looking at religious perspectives on COVID, how different religious experiences work with isolation and how people and community and religion. So it should be a very interesting multi-religious discussion there. And Joanna Cirque Smith will be doing her restaurant program. It was going to be this week, but in fact, it is Wednesday, April 29th, Restaurant Cuisine in a Pandemic World. Mm. I just supported my local restaurant for the first time. I was just not sure how it worked and whatnot. And trust me, we'll be doing more takeout because restaurants are in rough shape and I really am tired of cooking.
Yeah, yeah. We've been supporting local restaurants as much as we can. Which one did you end up going to?
We went to Cham Thai in the new one in Carrboro, and
okay.
It was really quite good.
Awesome.
So, and I was very pleased to see. I mean, I was very pleased to see that I had to wait about an hour and 15 minutes for my food, which is fine because when I went in there, they were quite busy and putting orders out left and right. So that's good to see.
Awesome. Again, humanities.unc.edu for more information from Carolina Public Humanities. That book club coming up in May, but spots are going fast, so sign up for that. Get a copy of the book. Support Flyleaf Books. It's a fantastic book, and you can take part in what will be a fantastic discussion in a couple of weeks. Max Orr, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Aaron. Miss your face, but soon enough.